Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to our podcast today, Everyday Truth. I had a mental freeze there for a moment. Forgive me for that. But we're back with John Edmonds, and we're in the book of Malachi. Just started last episode on this great Old Testament book. We're all the way down to verse 2 of chapter 1, John.
Hey, we made great progress last time, Pastor.
But we really did. We talked about the introduction to the book. We gave you kind of a time frame in which it was written. And today, we want to jump right into the message itself. We introduced yesterday the fact that the message was a burden. Something that was heavy upon the heart of God and upon the heart of Malachi, no doubt. And what was that heavy message? So let me read it for us, and then we'll just dive right into it. Here's what the Lord said in verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Wow. I mean, we are into it, John. These are some heavy verses.
They are heavy verses, Pastor. You know, and I love how God starts out by saying, I have loved you. But you are right that people, this is some heavy verses. Paul just quotes them in Romans chapter 9. And sadly, sometimes people get too far afield in theological debates and get all bent out of shape over, you know, Calvinism, Arminianism, theology. And they sometimes miss the entire thing God's trying to say here.
And so when the Lord introduces this message to the people through Malachi, he introduces it with a very simple statement. And so rather than getting bogged down with all the argumentation about election and predestination, let's start where God started. And where God starts here is to say, listen, I've loved you.
Yes, what a thought. You know, this is going to be a solemn message. We've seen that in verse 1. But the solemn message starts out by God saying, I love you. Now, these are God's covenant people and God loves them. The problem is not on God's fault because God does love them.
And yet, The follow-up is the people saying, but what, you know, tell us about, we don't think you love us. Wherein have you loved us?
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine that the people of Israel have come to the place where they think God does not love them. But before I'm too hard on them, sometimes in my life, you know, Satan can get me to doubt the goodness of God in my life.
Does God really love me? Now, think about who's saying that. The people that are saying that are people whom God has demonstrated irrefutably, historically, time after time. It's not as if God has not demonstrated his love. I've loved you, but they're questioning that.
Yeah, they just, because of their circumstances, they're allowing their circumstances to color how they view life. As we saw last episode, that, you know, they came back with great hopes, things didn't work out like they thought they would back in the land of Israel. And now they just think, you know, where is God? What's happening?
And it's important, I think, for us listeners to realize that the people that are questioning God here are the people that are serving God. Now, we could talk about what that service was and the quality of that service, and we're going to do that in the episodes that will follow. But the simple fact of the matter is they're getting up every day, they're going through the motions, they're doing the ritual sacrifices, they're living by the kosher dietary laws. So they're almost robotically moving forward, and yet in their heart, they're questioning the very love of God for them.
Yeah, they certainly don't have a vibrant relationship with God. You know, they have all this ritual. And as you mentioned, Pastor, it is easy for that to happen to us where we get in a rut of what we're doing, but we really don't have a vibrant relationship with our Savior that really does permeate our life, fills us with joy, and makes us live abundantly in Him.
Yeah, when the why question is not answered in our lives, we are going to erode. And the why question is, why do I do what I do? You know, what motivates me? And they had lost their motivation, because the motivation, whether it was the Old Testament or the New Testament, the motivation need always to be, God loves me and I love Him back. That's why I do what I do.
I think of 1 John 4, we love Him because He first loved us. And John shows us so much the love we ought to have for God. And when we properly understand the love of God, it causes us to respond with great love and adoration and reverence for Him. But Satan and our flesh and the world are so adept at getting us to really doubt, does God love? Which brings us back to the title we have, Questioning God.
Questioning God. And that might be, and this is the first question in the book of Malachi that the people pose to God. You know, where have you loved us? We don't see that. We don't see that you love us. And so in answering that question, because that's really where the controversy arises here, in answering that question, God says, listen, I love you because I made you a promise. So talk to me about that covenant love to which He's referring here in verse 2.
You know, we find, Pastor, back even whenever Jacob and Rebecca, I'm sorry, Jacob and Esau, yeah, Isaac and Rebecca. Getting the wrong names here. When Isaac and Rebecca, you know, when Rebecca became pregnant, God told her that the younger would be the greater of the two. And God had made that promise. And of course, we won't take the time to trace all the history of that with what happened with Isaac and Rebecca and the two twins. But this was not common to man's wisdom. Man's wisdom was the oldest would be the greatest. But God made a covenant. He had made it with Abraham, went through Isaac, and now it's going to go through Jacob, so that Jacob is the one that God chose. And God chose Jacob because God chose to choose Jacob. This has nothing to do with Jacob's eternal destiny. It has everything to do with how God will fulfill the promise He made through Abraham, that someday through Abraham's seed, all will be blessed. And we know from Galatians 3, it's referring ultimately to Jesus Christ. And so it is important to realize that what God's talking about is Israel is in a privileged place because of the promises and the covenants of God. Again, where people often go awry is trying to make, well, get now, Jacob is going to go to heaven because of this. But that is not what God's talking about. He's talking about the covenant that you already talked about.
Yeah, dismiss in your mind, my friend, this idea that God has an eeny, meeny, miny, moe system of saving people, that God arbitrarily selects some people to go to heaven and arbitrarily selects some people to go to hell. That's not what this passage is teaching at all. The passage is teaching about how God chose a group of people, a nation, and favored one nation over another nation. So loved, to put it in the Bible vernacular, is to favor. And hate here means to disfavor. The whole point here is that God says, I'm going to work through this group of people. I have promised Jacob, I'm going to work through her. Now, what was that work? That setting His love upon Jacob was for the purpose of, through Jacob, loving the world. So it wasn't that God was loving Jacob to the exclusion of others. It's that God was choosing Jacob so that through Jacob, the world could be blessed. All nations could honor God.
And that's what the Old Testament shows time and again, that God, even in Isaiah, we find on more than one occasion that God does love all people. And back to your point about the historicity of what we have going on here is Malachi takes him back to the beginning. It says, don't you realize from the very beginning, God loved you and God loved you for a purpose. And as you mentioned, Pastor, Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations. They didn't do that very well, but that did not negate the fact that God still loved them. God did still love them.
And so God points at the history of Jacob and says, listen, you failed, but look at you. I brought you back. Okay. Edom failed and I allowed her to fail. But it's not that God didn't bless Edom or what didn't give her conditional promises. Indeed, He did. The point here is that Israel, I'm still keeping my word. I'm still loving you. I still have a purpose for you. Can you please see that?
Yes, and as you mentioned, Pastor, we were just reading the text a moment ago about how that Edom says, you know, we've been torn down, but we're going to rebuild. But God says, no, they're not my chosen people. I'm not going to do that for them. But yet at this very time, Israel has come out very in recent history from the Babylonian captivity. And there at Jerusalem was just decimated. But God did favor them and they were rebuilding. Now, they were not all they needed to be yet, but God sent Malachi to get them to where they needed to be.
You know, in a couple of weeks, John, you and I will be in Israel.
That's exciting.
We will be in Israel. And is that not just a testimony of this continuing promise? You know, we're not going to go to Edom. You know, we're not going to see the Hittites. We're not going to go see the Philistines. But God is still maintaining his covenant promise. Our God and his love is conditioned upon his word.
You know, it is, I've heard people say before that one of the great arguments for the existence of God is the Jewish people, because there's nothing about the Jewish people as far as being a mighty nation and people that Satan has tried to stamp them out throughout history, but they are God's covenant people. That they may right now not be prominently, you know, in what God's doing right now through the church, but God has not forgotten Israel, and that will come out in Romans 9 through 11. I know that gets farther afield where we're going right now, but they still are God's covenant people, and God has not forgotten about them.
I love verse 5, John, and help us with that, where the Bible says, "And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel."
You know, it just goes in stark contrast what happened in verse 4, how that Edom, they're going to be judged. They're not going to be rebuilt. They're going to be desolate. But there will come a day when Israel will be magnified far greater than they even comprehend right now.
Mm-hmm.
And someday, I think when Jesus Christ will literally rule and reign from Jerusalem, and all people will flow into Jerusalem to worship the Messiah, to worship the Son of God, what a day that's going to be.
And so, trust me today, God says. God says, listen, I love you, and I have a purpose for you, Israel. And I have been faithful in that purpose. So if you'll look back right now, you're going to see, hey, you're still here. I still love you. Look at all that you've gone through. I'm still committed to you. And one day, you're going to see this in a huge way. Can you just trust me? So let's take that whole argument, that whole perspective, John, and apply it to the New Testament believer.
You know, I think in my life today, it is so easy sometimes for circumstances to be weighty, to pull us down, and us begin to doubt. We may not flat out say, you know, God, do you really love me? But our lives live in a way that we really doubt the goodness of God. We're not really solely living for God, loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But whenever we really contemplate the love of God and see how faithful God is and who God has been to us and what he will continue to do for us, as we look in the Word of God and see God revealed in Scripture, we just can't help but realize how awesome our God is and what a privilege it is to know him. And who are we to ever doubt the love of God? He's given his Son for us. How will he not with him also freely give us all that we need to live godly?
Great point. And so I guess I would say to you, my friends, the fact that God has loved you. He proved that at Calvary. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So we have God set his love upon us. If you've invested faith in Jesus Christ, he has a purpose for you. He's not going to go back on his word. He told you, I began a good work in you. I will perform it. I will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you might not see it right now in your present circumstance. You might be driving down the highway right now saying, my life is falling apart. Please understand that God's at work and he's working all things together for good to you that love God. You're called according to his purpose. And his purpose is to form Jesus Christ in you. And one day, the promise of verse 5 will be your promise. You're going to see it. You're going to see all the wonderful things that God is doing in and through your life. And so the promise to the nation of Israel, which will be fulfilled, we're going to see it. Daniel's 70th week, and God has a plan that he's not completed for the nation of Israel, but God also has a plan for you, my friend, the New Testament believer. And one day it will culminate in you becoming just like Jesus in the final stage of your salvation, which is glorification.
What a blessed thought that is. I look forward someday to, you know, being like him, see him. I will see him. I will be like him. I'll see him as he is. And, you know, sometimes I get just tired of struggling with sin sometimes. But someday, you know, we will be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And what a blessed day that will be.
It's going to be great. I hope, my friends, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. I hope that you'll cling to that promise. God loves you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.